Before I bring the message today, I'd like to make an announcement. Now, I do not usually announce where I'll be preaching on these broadcasts because these tapes are used at a later date on other stations. But I'll be speaking tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night in Cottageville, West Virginia, at the Millsite Baptist Church. These folks have been friends of mine for many years, and I'll be speaking there tonight. Now, the evening service on Sunday evening tonight is 6:30 p.m., and then we'll be meeting Monday night and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So I invite you to come to those services if you live in that area around Cottageville, West Virginia. I'll be there tonight, 6:30, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. The Millsite Baptist Church. And the pastor of the church is Brother Doug Weaver. And I'll be preaching there three nights. So we invite you to those services. I want you to open your Bibles with me today to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to be speaking from verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, you'll get so much more from this message if you'll take the Bible and open it and read it along with me. And let me try, as the Spirit of God gives us some understanding, to explain to you what our Lord is saying here in Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, the title of the message is Jesus Christ the Messiah. Jesus Christ the Messiah. Now, let me give you a little background here. Our Lord came to the earth in the likeness of our flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, Paul said, in the form of a servant. And our Lord was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin in order that he might not partake of Adam's sin. He was a man-child, human being, human nature, just like yours, just like mine, and yet without sin. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." He actually, the Lord of glory, actually came into this world. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, "Great is the mystery," and it is a mystery, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. Jesus Christ actually came to this earth and inhabited the body of a man. He dwelt in human flesh on this earth, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, he grew up in a little town called Nazareth. That's right, he was a man. He grew up as a child. He increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men. Yet he was God in human flesh. I can't explain that, but he was a man, and yet he's God, the God-man. And he was tempted, tested, tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. He lived on this earth, worked in a carpenter shop. They called him the carpenter. And he grew up in Nazareth until he was 30 years old. And he left Nazareth when he was 30 years old and began to preach the gospel of his grace, the gospel of his mercy to sinners. And he began to perform miracles. And word spread rapidly everywhere of his words. No man spake like this man. Of his miracles, like Nicodemus said, "We know that you came from God because no man could do the things you do except God be with him." And of his mighty deeds, mighty deeds. And after being away from, now the word came back to Nazareth about these things that he was saying and these things that he was doing in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. And so he came back to Nazareth. And he returned as his custom was, the scripture said, when he returned back to his hometown, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. On Saturday, seventh day of the week, which is a Sabbath day, when the Jews met to worship. our Lord was in the synagogue. That was his custom. You see, he was made of a woman, made under the law. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was a Jewish son of a Jewish woman, and his foster father was a Jew. And he was subject to all the laws of the Jewish religion. And so on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue where all the people had gathered. Now, remember, they'd heard all about, they knew him. They said, "Do we not know his mother and his brothers and sisters? And is not this the carpenter? How can he say he came down from heaven when we know he was raised right here in Nazareth?" And so when he came to the synagogue, as his custom was, evidently he read. Of course, our God is brilliant. Even as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's 12 years old, he was in the temple talking with the leaders of religion, the doctors and lawyers, and answering their questions. And so evidently he must have been one who read in the synagogue. So they delivered him a book. It was the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet. They gave him this book to read on this particular day. And everybody was there, I'm sure, because of the fame of him that had come back to their ears. And so when he stood up to read, he selected this passage. Now, that's what I told you to turn to, Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. This is the passage of Scripture which our Lord read that Sabbath morning in the synagogue when he returned to Nazareth where he was brought up. And he read, you look at it there in your Bible, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Now it says when he read that over in Luke 4, when it was given an account of this day in the synagogue, when he read that scripture, he closed the book and gave it back to the man in charge. And he sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were just fastened on him, waiting to see what he's going to say. Now, this scripture that he read, and they recognized that it's a messianic prophecy. It has to do with the Messiah. And they knew that much. And they waited to see what he'd have to say about this. He chose this. He selected. Nobody selected it for him. He chose this passage of Scripture. And he read it to them. And when he sat down, every eye in the synagogue was fastened on him. And this is what he said. This day, this moment, after all these years and decades and centuries and millenniums, this day, after all the time since this scripture was written, this day, right now, is this scripture fulfilled, come to pass in your ears. You see, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this person, Jesus of Nazareth, this God-man, Almighty God, has fulfilled every promise, every prophecy, every picture, every pattern of the entire Old Testament. everything that has to do with salvation, with redemption, with our relationship with God, promised, prophesied, pictured in the Old Testament, is this day fulfilled in this man, Jesus Christ. He is salvation. He is redemption. He is God. He is eternal life. Everything is fulfilled in Him. And that's what He's saying. This day is this Scripture and all Scripture, every promise, every prophecy, every pattern, every picture, every type of the entire Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. This day, this moment, is it all fulfilled right here before you in your ears. Now, look with me at this text again that he read, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and let's see what God has fulfilled in Christ. What does this mean? First of all, this is what he said. Here's the man, the God-man. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is very God of very God, and as God, he does not need any additional power, glory, or spirit. He has the Spirit. He is the Spirit. Yet, as a man, he is a man in every sense of the word. Had to be identified with us. As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, even the one who redeemed them must partake of flesh and blood and must be, to some extent, limited. He limited himself. And so as a man in human flesh, he must have the Spirit of God. Like he prayed in John 17, Father, glorify me. God needs no more glory. God has all glory. But yet this is God, and yet he's a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's our representative. And as our representative, he's got to be subject to all these things. So he says, God has put his Spirit upon me. You know, when he was baptized in the River Jordan of John, it says the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. And John bare witness. He said, the Lord said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend, that's the Son of God. That's the Messiah. And then God giveth the Spirit without measure to him. We have the Holy Spirit, oh my, in measure. In what a small measure compared to the vastness and power and omnipotence of the Spirit of God. What brief measure, small measure we do have. But the Lord Jesus Christ, even Christ the man, God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him, but without measure. And he says here, the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is upon me. And then notice the next line, because he hath anointed me, the Lord hath anointed me. You see, God ordained and appointed the Lord Jesus Christ to be our surety, the surety of the everlasting covenant. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the surety of the covenant. He is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is our mediator. He is our advocate. He has been appointed, ordained, anointed of God to serve in that capacity. Prophet, priest, and king. God, the Lord God anointed me. See, no man takes this honor upon himself. Even the priests of the Old Testament, Aaron, sons of Levi, they didn't volunteer for this office. God chose them. The one God chose became the high priest. And even so, Paul said, Jesus Christ took not this honor upon himself, but the Lord God appointed me, anointed me. God set him forth to be our high priest, to be our sin offering, to be our mediator, to be our mercy seat. God sent him into the world to represent us, the second Adam. To represent us in life and death and resurrection. God has appointed him. That means because God has appointed him, he's the only high priest. He's the one mediator. He's the only prophet, priest, and king. And he has a name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess He is Lord. The Spirit of God, He says, is upon me because the Lord God anointed me. Bright and joyful is the morn. Unto us a child is born. From the highest realm of heaven, unto us His Son is given. On His shoulders He shall bear power and majesty, and He shall wear on His vesture and on His thigh names most glorious, names most high, Wonderful, Counselor. He, the incarnate deity, Rock of Ages, never to cease, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, come and worship at His feet. Yield to Him the glory meet. From the manger to the throne, glory due to God alone. Spirit of God is upon me, He said, because the Lord God anointed me and appointed me and ordained me and sent me to do what? All right, look at the next line. Spirit of God is upon me. The Lord God hath anointed me, appointed me to do what? To preach good tidings to the meek. To preach, to proclaim good news, to declare good news to the meek. My friend, true preaching is a proclamation. True preaching is a declaration. True preaching is the means of setting forth the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. True preaching declares there's forgiveness for the transgressor. There's grace for the guilty. There's mercy for the miserable. There is salvation for sinners. You see, true preaching, listen to me. He says, the Lord God anointed me to preach, to proclaim, to declare good tidings, good news to the meek. True preaching is not persuading men to do something for God. That's not true preaching. True preaching is the proclamation of what God has done for men. You see, if you keep giving me something to do for God, when God is independent and God needs nothing, He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. The gold and silver that hasn't been mined belongs to me. God owns all things. We can't add anything to Him. So if you're constantly badgering me with what I ought to do for God, you're giving me an impossible task. That's not good news. But Christ said He sent me to preach, to proclaim good news. Good news. It's good news, you see. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. There is grace. There is life. There is hope. Good news. And it's a proclamation and a declaration of what God has done for us. Christ came into the world to seek and save the lost, the meek, the poor. Christ died for the ungodly. He came to save sinners. He sent me to preach good news to the meek, to the poor, to the humble, to the lowly. I tell you this. The first steps a man takes toward heaven is when he finds out he's a sinner. That's exactly right. Because Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And when a person finds out they're lost, there's a good possibility they'll be found. When a man finds out he's a sinner, there's a good possibility he'll be saved. When a man finds out he is nothing and has nothing and knows nothing and deserves nothing, there's a good possibility God will proclaim to him good news. There's grace for the guilty. There's mercy for the miserable. I was preaching on this station several years ago. There was a young man, lives down on the West Virginia-Virginia line, state line. And he turned on the television one Sunday morning and was going to listen to some music, he told me later. And he said, suddenly you came on the screen. He said, the first thing you said, you pointed your finger at me. And the first thing you said was this. There's a lot of difference between you and me. But one thing we have in common. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And that young man said, I got so angry, I just turned the television off. And he said, I'm not a sinner. He said, I just backed up and sat down in my chair, and I said, I'm not a sinner. And he said, the longer I sat there and thought about it, I finally decided, maybe I am a sinner. So he went over and turned it on, and God spoke to his heart and brought him to know the Savior, brought him to love the gospel. God sent me. Christ said he came to preach the gospel to the meek, to the poor, to the lost, to sinners. Look at the next line. And the Lord God sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. What's this brokenhearted? Well, I know everybody listening to me at one time or other has experienced some kind of some sadness and sorrow over events and it transpired in your life, and your heart's been broken. We use that term. That just broke my heart. Well, that's not what this is talking about here. The broken heart here, the one Christ came to heal, is the one that's broken over sin because of sin against God. My heart is broken because of my sin. You see, that's what it means when it says in Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. You see, that's not physically speaking, or it's not speaking of some flesh event or some relationship with someone, son or daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, who's broken your heart. God deals with a broken heart over sin. The sacrifices of God are broken heart and a contrite spirit the Lord will not despise. So Christ said here, I came to preach good news to the poor, the gospel, and I came to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted, the person whose heart is broken over sin. You see, salvation is a heart work. Repentance is a heart work. Faith is a heart work. And if you read Psalm 51, you'll find David's heart is broken there because he sinned against God. He's brought reproach upon his Lord, and he's praying for God's forgiveness and mercy and loving kindness. Notice the next statement. He said, he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive, freedom to those held captive. How? Who? You say, we're not held captive. We live in a free country. We have democracy. This is talking about he came to set free those that are captives of the law of sin and death, who are captives to the justice and judgment of God. That's what we're captives of the law. We've broken the law, therefore the law has a claim on us. The law has captured us and will hold us till that debt is discharged, till that debt is paid. The justice of God has a hold of us. The justice of God says you've broken the law, and the law, soul that sinneth will die. So we're captives. We're held captive by the law of sin and death, and we're held captive by the justice of God. But Christ came to set the captive free. And he says in the next line, to open the prison to them that are bound. Open the prison to them that are bound. You see, Jesus Christ came to this world and fulfilled that law as our representative, as our substitute. And God, because of what Christ has done for us, imputes to us, charges to our account, perfect righteousness. Christ went to the cross, and there the justice and judgment and wrath of God for our sins were laid on him. So he set us free. He says, I came, he has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberty, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has died and there's remission. Cursed by the law, slain by the foe, captive of justice, but Christ hath redeemed us once for all. And he did set us free. He didn't try to. He didn't do half of it. He didn't leave much for us to do. He set the captive free by his obedience and by his death. In September of 1862, President Lincoln issued an Emancipation Proclamation. He declared all slaves to be free. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't an invitation. It wasn't a request. It was an order. It was a proclamation. They are free as of January 1863. And I'll tell you this. When my Lord came down here, the Spirit of God upon him, sent by the Father, anointed to be our prophet, priest, and king, he set the captive free. And then he sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? Well, that's the year of Jubilee. The old Jews, the Old Testament Jews, had a year of Jubilee, which was the 50th year. They numbered 7 Sabbath years. Every 7th year was a Sabbath. And 7 of them in 1 year made the 50th. And on that year of Jubilee, every man sold into slavery was free. All property lost, stolen, or sold was restored. All debts were canceled. A year of rest proclaimed. And Christ said, "This is the year of Jubilee. God sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of Jubilee. Every slave of sin who believes on me is free. All our souls lost in Adam are restored. All our property and possessions sold down the river by sin, restored. All our debts are paid. All sin debts canceled this day. And we enter into his rest forevermore. The Spirit of God is upon me," he said. "This day, this is all fulfilled. Preach good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captive, to open prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee, free in Christ." Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, if you want this tape, this message on a cassette tape, write to me. Send $2. The address will be given to you on the screen. We'll mail the tape to you. And on this tape will be another message I'll be bringing next Sunday. Until next week, may God bless you.